The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, thanks so much.
Hey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you,
Mike?
Great. Well, first off, thank you so much for talking to me. I'm a huge fan of this little show. That's a fantastic set.
I was like, can we reshoot the cover so Meatwad's a wad and not like a hamburger patty? And they were like, no, it's already in stores.
it's great, but I love Plantasm. Thought it was great. I'm kind of curious, just to like kick this off, prior to this, did y'all have like some sequel ideas already kind of brewing?
Yeah, we wrote 20 scripts, and so we decided to take number 7 and pitch that. So that's why we got to do this one first. So we're going to do, this is 7 out of 20. So as soon as the show ended, we got together and we said, we know they're going to want to make movies. So we wrote 20 scripts, we pitched number 7. So we're going to kind of do like what Star Trek does, which is start at 7 or 4, move on, get a new Enterprise, basically. And then we beam back to the origin, which would be 0, Aqua Teen 0.
Love it. Yeah. Now, I read that, so they initially contacted you, Warner Brothers, about wanting a sequel. And this was during the height of the pandemic, is that right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is kind of piggybacking off that, which is, what was the challenges kind of working in like the height of the pandemic?
We used to sit with editors, you know, and you'd try to crack each other up and you'd try stuff, and instead of like writing like a novel worth of notes, you know, and then that editor having to interpret that, and, you know, and just the standard Zoom call business and drop calls and stuff. It's kind of daunting, and kind of weirdly, it was invigorating during what was otherwise kind of a lonely time. So, you know, it's kind of great.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, I've talked to a lot of filmmakers just having to kind of navigate this new normal of remote calls, you know, not doing things kind of status quo.
We wrote the whole script over the phone. You know, we weren't even getting together. I mean, everything was remote. And even during the shorts that we did for the internet, I mean, we were recording our stuff at home. I don't even have a setup. I had to kind of make something. And way different. Way better to get together in person than make this stuff. But we did it, you know, we made it work.
Yeah. That is really interesting to hear, because I feel like, you know, the creative process and bouncing these ideas off each other is probably just so much more conducive when you're like in the room, when you can really properly gauge the energy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but I think it helped that we just all had those memory muscles of the show, and you know, and it was something that was established. So it wasn't like we were trying to start this from scratch, you know, everybody knew everybody. And I mean, we had everybody, like people that worked on the first episode of this show were on this movie.
Wow.
Matt Jenkins and Craig Harton and
Jay Edwards.
Ned Hastings, Jay Edwards, just all these guys that started with us. So it was like great to, it wasn't as difficult maybe as just starting from scratch, flat footed, you know?
Yeah. And that's a great point because, I mean, this movie is just littered full of like great nods for people that are like big fans of the show, characters coming back in the flashbacks. I love that. I thought that was so cool. What awesome. I loved about this movie is it's easy. If you've never seen the show, I think it's approachable. It would be weird to just go into the show or go into the movie without seeing the show, but I think you could do it. But
you could too, because I think we tried to do a story that was pretty identifiable, even though it was our characters. You could identify with the story. So yeah, we were trying to do something a little broader, but also be able to do what we used to do at the same time as compared to the first movie.
Yeah. And I love how it's very much of its time. I mean, Amazing Corp is definitely Amazon.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a totally different one.
Yeah. It's like for legal purposes, it's definitely not.
You know that George Lucas is in our movie.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
This is real.
It's true.
We mixed it at Skywalker and we were like, I bet in the early days Lucas had to make some sound effects himself, and our sound mixer was like, actually, yes. And she played for us a couple of effects that he did. And he's in that movie so many times, he should get a star billing.
That's great.
Little pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. What was it like to record there? Was that kind of a little surreal?
We know we did the first movie there too. So yeah, it's always a pleasure going out there because it's such a beautiful place. And then that's where they do a lot of, you know, giant blockbuster movies like ours. And yeah, it's surreal because it's just loud. It's just huge. Every sound effect you can think of is there. And it's a blast.
But we didn't, I mean, we recorded here, but we like mixed it at Skywalker. Right. And usually, I mean, Matt's been to Skywalker a bunch more than I have, but like usually there's a lot more people out there, right? I mean, like we were the only people, almost the only people working there. It was like Night of the Comet. We were like in this valley by ourselves.
Nice.
It was crazy. It was almost like it had kind of a post-apocalyptic vibe. But if the apocalypse like works out and it's real pretty and there's a winery.
Yeah.
Hey, you could do happens. A lot worse.
There's a little bit of that in the second movie, which would be actually number 2, not number 8. This was number 7. Yeah. Now, do you have Night of the Comet back there on that collection of DVDs?
I do, actually. It's right
here
somewhere.
Let's play a movie. Game called Scary Noises.
I actually got to meet Kelly Maroney. She was super nice at a convention.
Oh, that's cool. Wow. Yeah, a friend of mine did the effects on it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
But back to our movie.
Yeah. So I want to say that like the Space Jam's parody was amazing, hilarious. So Sean Kemp is your like LeBron James. Did you always kind of have him in mind as sort of a stand-in for like LeBron?
I was more familiar with him because I read an article about him about being that he was like a weed impresario in Seattle. Like apparently he just has a ton of stores up there. And are you familiar with Tom Sharpling at all?
No.
He's this comedy.
He's the president of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to go back to school then.
Watch the news.
Tom's a comedy writer, does a show called The Best Show. It's really funny. And but he was probably like one of our first like real sort of fans that was someone that was doing something in like the comedy world. It was like but I digress. But he also used to write for NBA, for Slam Magazine, I think. And I was like, hey, we're looking for a type of player like this. And he just sent me a list and But yeah, I remembered Sean, and Sean was great. He was awesome, and he's a mountain of a man. And he he was throwing people around on the set. If you saw the whole behind the scenes thing on the disc, and but he didn't want to do that. We just kept going, really throw them around, you know, really lean into them. And then I got in the suit, and then he'd do it to me, but every time he would like reach down to pick me up, and he just picked me up in his shoulders and then cradle me and then set me down gently.
That's great. So it looks like I need to wrap up, but I just wanted, like, I know y'all are probably getting this question so much now, but I feel like I kind of need to ask, will we see another Aqua Teen movie anytime soon?
Yes, you will. Right now we're doing a new season of the show. But the next movie, it's in pre-production.
That's great. Cool. Yeah. As a fan, this was awesome. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, we're supposed to say, are we supposed to say, this is going to, have we said that this is going to be on HBO Max February 8th, the movie?
Oh, February 8th. Okay.
And it's going to be on Adult Swim on March 12th. So for those people who set their calendars to watch TV shows, write that down. That's March 12th. I don't have a time yet. So maybe just put all day on your iPhone so that it'll show up.
Yeah, and I will definitely link the date in the description of the video so y'all can check that out. Cool. And absolutely, we're checking out. Also, like, the 4K is awesome. So I think you should pick that up as well. But yeah, thank you so much again. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Thank you.